Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast, part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com. Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Inside Sports, Fantasy Football, and Game Source. We truly appreciate everyone out there that listens to all of our great shows. And if you can, only if you can, I believe you, please give us that 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. I forgot my hand is so large that my thumb is, so you can't see the 5. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe. You can do it. I know you can, YouTube Nation out there. Please go ahead and subscribe below Sean Grice today, right there for you, so you can get the latest notifications on when we go live on the air right here at the Lakers Fast Break. Go ahead, do it. We've had a lot of subscribers over the past couple weeks, and it's sincerely appreciated. Plus, again, if you can like, share, subscribe, follow, or do whatever it is that you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Game Source, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, of course, everybody here at the Lakers Fast Break, LakersBall.com, join Joe Sorrow, who is running a little bit late, probably, you know, working on some major deals to get more beautiful lawns transformed with SimBlades.com, but join him on his off time at LakersBall.com, plus go ahead and support the number one Lakers blogger that's out there, Laker Tom at LakerHolics.com, plus our good friend Yami Swoot, a.k.a. Jamie Sweet, who's been playing all over Southern California. He's doing lighting gigs for productions. He's been playing at several festivals. That's why he's not been on, because he's been the busy guy. But when he gets a chance, he always drops some good 5 things at LakerHolics.com. Plus, our good friends at the Hoopheads Podcast Network. And if you can support all of that, plus, join us for our live watch parties. That's right. We have live game time watch parties. You can listen to Joe. You can listen to Tom. You can listen to Sean. Yes, at times. You can even listen to me right there for you at, of course, playback.tv/LakersFastBreak. Again, you can sign up for free, playback.tv/LakersFastBreak. Join us. I will be adding, hopefully in the next couple weeks, a Discord server. You can go ahead and join us on Discord so you can actually talk to us if you want. Or you can still just type away and chat as always. That's your choice. But join us for our live watch parties today at the Lakers Fast Break on playback.tv. And if you could do all that, it is sincerely appreciated. Well, with the Lakers off, coming off a glorious win, bringing them to a sparkling record of 3-10. And yes, I'm being facetious when I say that. They have several days off. Right now, they actually sent Thomas Bryant, Kendrick Nunn, and Dennis Schroeder to the South Bay Lakers to get some extra workouts in before the Friday night's game, which hopefully we will get not only Schroeder and, of course, Thomas Bryant back coming off those thumb injuries, but also hopefully as well LeBron James coming back from injury as well. Hopefully we will be a full team heading into Friday matchup against the Spurs. I'm hoping also as well something to be done on the trade front, because the rumors are continuing. See it all over the place. I know you do out there as far as the Lakers family out there, but we will go ahead and continue to speculate, go ahead and continue to keep an eye on and watch for what's going on with the Lakers. If there's any trade or movement, you know, Laker Tom is somewhere in a corner, somewhere in Northern California, praying, keeping his fingers crossed that finally his words will become prophetic and become true, and that the Lakers can make a major trade that will swing their fortunes in the right favor. But what about the Western Conference? We're going to be talking about that. Plus, Joe Sorrow, when he does arrive, wants to talk about the new CBA and how that might work out. That's coming up here in a bit. But it is the Western Conference. Right now, I wanted to go ahead and focus on that for our NBA observations this week. And here today to talk about some NBA observations in the Western Conference, good man indeed. You got to go ahead and check him out anytime he's here at the Lakers Fast Break, or he's commenting on our YouTube channel. Also, as well, he's helping us out with the live watch parties. Anything that he does for the Lakers Fast Break is greatly appreciated. It is the madman from Toronto, the magic man indeed. It is Sean Grice. Sean, great to have you back, my friend. Wanted to go ahead and ask you your thoughts right now. Against a, well, closing in on 15 games in on the Western Conference. And as of right now, it is the right now at the top, the Denver Nuggets, a team which I had said, and I'm not patting myself yet on the back because it's just 13 games in, but they are leading the Western Conference. But right there with them are two big surprises that I wasn't expecting in the Portland Trail Blazers and the Utah Jazz.
Absolutely, Gerald. The Jazz are a big surprise. We've spoken about them previously. We both agreed they're probably not going to continue on the at least the pace of a 75% winning percentage. I think, you know, there may be more of a less than a 600 team. Honestly, I think that's eventually what's going to happen to them. I think they'll eventually, you know, basically stumble into a play-in, I think, at this point. The Nuggets, you're right. I agree with you, Gerald. I agree with your sentiment. I thought that they had a deep team. They pretty much go too deep at every position. And we're going to see what their depth lineup is, but the possibilities there with the potential, you know, Jamal Murray, and then you have Bones, and then you have a KCP, and then you have a Michael Porter Jr., or you could slot in a Bruce Brown, and then obviously the Joker. I mean, that's a deadly combination to put those kind of shooters out there with the Joker. I think the Nuggets are a threat in the West to possibly make a finals run here. And we know that the crunky ownership group is not they're willing to put all the chips on the table. They've done it with their hockey team, with the Avalanche. He's done it with the Rams. And I think he'd be more than willing to do it with the Nuggets here, especially Josh Kroenke, who I think has no, Gerald, I think he's had a chip on his shoulder ever since Masai Ujiri left the Nuggets. And I think he really wants to assert himself and prove people that, you know, he was an integral part of what the Nuggets built then, and he's important to what they're building now. And I think that could play a factor into whether the Nuggets go all in this season too. And we have the Phoenix Suns are kind of like they're up and down. They really had a weird game the other night against the Heat. They lost. You look at the Warriors, that's a pretty surprising team there. I mean, 4-8 now?
They're 6-8 right now. And that's one of the things I wanted to talk to you about. Of course, we have the surprises that are out there. The Jazz at 10-5, actually looking so far pretty good against the Knicks right now, although it's early to tell. And then you have also as well Portland Trail Blazers behind Damian Lillard, who's been in and out of the lineup, actually in right now playing very well, guiding this team. Plus, they're also as well, they're playing, I think, a better defense than what most people had anticipated. They're right now at the top of the Western Conference. But when you have surprises such as them, you're also going to have some teams that are pointing something that might have been different than what we had analyzed. And one of those is right now the Golden State Warriors. They're off to a sluggish start. They're at 6-8.
Yep.
Steph Curry is still playing like Steph Curry. In fact, is shooting very efficiently right now. Your thoughts on what's gone wrong with the Golden State Warriors, because I know it's a myriad of things that are not helping the Golden State Warriors, but be that as it may, even in a Western Conference, it's showing right now the Western Conference is not that strong at this point in time, because when a 6-8 team is right now in the play-in and in the playoff hunt, that shows me that it's not as strong as maybe a lot of people thought he wants.
Absolutely. Them in particular, and excuse me, I was thinking we were going to get our fourth win on Friday. That's why I said 4-8, because if we win on Friday, we're 4-10, and the Warriors 4-9. Excuse me. No. We're 3-10.
Yeah, but if you said we won on Friday,
we'd be 4-10.
4-9.
Oh, right. So, you know, you're only 2.5 games out of a possible tie with the Golden State Warriors, who are struggling right now. That is surprising to me, at least, is that because they play a standard of defense that really hasn't shown itself to be strong this year at all. Everybody's saying Klay doesn't look like himself. He really doesn't defensively to me. I'm not sure what it is exactly, but it just doesn't seem like he has the same tenacity on the defensive end. And, you know, when that tenacity is missing from that defense, it just doesn't give him the kind of edge it used to, and it shows. I was tired the other night, and I saw that they were 5-7 playing the Sacramento Kings. Jordan Poole had quite a prolific end of the first quarter. The Warriors were up 39-26. I went to bed thinking, okay, they're probably going to win by 15. No, they ended up losing that game. So the Western Conference isn't as strong as it once was, Gerald. You're right. I mean,
I think a lot of problems start in Golden State with the fact that they're just not getting consistent production out of Jordan Poole, who signed that big fat contract.
Mm-hmm. So,
you know, we've seen this before. Player signs a big fat contract, doesn't produce in the following. So we'll see if that's something that's going to be a trend.
Yes.
Jordan Poole. Also, as well, the defense for Golden State has not been there, and the vaunted trio of young players, I should say, in Wiseman, Moody, and Kuminga, they have not produced consistently for the team, and their bench has really been very underwhelming so far.
Well, the one surprise there is Kuminga, because he looked like he had a pretty solid offensive game, and he hasn't really produced the way it, you know, people anticipated. Moody was I remember Moody at Arkansas. He was a very streaky shooter then, but he had a brilliant tournament, and it ended up vaunting him up into the draft. But you know, he's a shooter, and shooters can be very streaky. So to me, that's not a surprise. But yeah, Wiseman, you took him what, number 2 overall. And you have this expectation that he's going to eventually be passed the torch. And, you know, he can't really find a consistency on either end and maintain it for a period of time. And, you know, Kerr has his work cut out for him this time.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com. And you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
I don't feel like that people have done that as much, especially with this international release.
You can get out there right now.
I know you can get it out there, but it feels like this time last year, people have just been like, oh,
you
can
get
you go.
The
Here's
cell phone version,
you know,
that was taped somewhere where it's like, you know, shell shaky, has some dude or some family that's walking right in front of you as they're finding their seat with the popcorn already in hand.
No,
you know,
come on.
Really? Yeah, that version is already available.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
with a mono sound. There you go.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's the worst part. You only get sound on the left ear, not the right ear.
family. Something like that. You can find that version already if you really want it. That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Needing an edge for your fantasy football team? Listen to the guys at Inside Sports Fantasy Football for insight that will help you reach your league championship. That's Inside Sports Fantasy Football. Check it out today on your favorite podcast outlet. once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. Gerald Glassford, it's Sean Grice, the Magic Man, the Madman from Toronto, getting out of Toronto traffic just to stop by. And also here today, good man indeed. You got to go ahead and check out what he's doing today at LakersBall.com. Plus, he was just on the phone, and I'm assuming because someone out there in Southern California wants their lawn transformed, as he's showing his pearly whites, wants their lawn transformed into something much more beautiful. So they called Joe at Simblades. That's right, Simblades with a Y.com. It is Joe Soro. Joe, great to have you here, my friend. We're talking the Western Conference before we get into your CBA thoughts. When it comes to the Western Conference, obviously we're seeing some good surprises right now with Portland and Utah. Also as well, I want to go ahead and talk about Golden State and some other disappointing teams, but I know heavy on your mind is what the Lakers have not done as of yet. So even though that they're having a horrible start to the season, they're not out of the woods yet. They could still, if they got, went on a run, could still get into somewhere into the play-in mix.
That's a legitimate comment on that. It's not really an optimistic comment. It's just a legitimate comment.
It's so a realistic one. They're only 2.5 games out of 10.
I don't know yet. This is the way the NBA is playing out this year, and it's been there. It's been kind of stewing a little bit the last few years. This is starting to get to the point where we're not going to know who and what like we used to. There's a couple of staples here and there, but I have no idea what's going to happen this year. And that's not the norm in the NBA. Usually you knew, well, Golden State's going to meet Cleveland in the finals. And you know, the Toronto all of a sudden came out of nowhere. But even then, it was like, if Durant doesn't get hurt, Golden State wins that series. Milwaukee had been knocking on the door. They finally got to the door. Should have lost that finals, but didn't because Phoenix couldn't close out a few games. But there was still that, like, you know, yeah, I could see these guys doing it. Now, Golden State came out last year with something, but we thought Phoenix was going to go all the way that year. I thought Phoenix was finally going to make it work, you know, winning 64 games, and then they flamed out bad, which was a surprise. I wouldn't have been surprised if they had lost a 7-game series, but they got, I mean, well, they did, but they got smoked. Those guys shouldn't have gotten smoked. They should have probably won it all last year. But this year, I can seriously say I have no idea what this is going to be. And I'm going to lean towards the Warriors kind of starting out slow to being an NBA title overhang, hangover, sorry. I don't see how these guys won't get it back together. Now, Klay Thompson surprised me last year playing as well as he did after two catastrophic injuries that usually take you out pretty extensively. Maybe the residual of it is starting to come now. Weissman has been showing that he's missing something. I don't know if this is the right team for him or if he's just not good enough. I haven't been able to figure that out yet. They won a title without him. That's not usually a good sign. So I'm going to give him maybe another year or two to figure some things out and go from there. And that's the other thing about the NBA that's slowly changed. You've seen players that normally you would know right off the bat, maybe year or two in, that these guys are going to be what they are going to be. Right now, you have guys that are doing some things that have been in the league 4 or 5 years and are kind of like, wow, I didn't expect them to start playing like this. So it's the unknown. I'd say the unknown basketball association at this point. That's at least where I'm standing.
I can say that at least on the Western Conference. The Eastern Conference looks pretty set right now with Boston and Milwaukee already separating themselves from them.
Sure. I mean, think about it for a second. So you're looking at the Pelicans right now at 7-6, and they're the 8 seed. The Kings are 6-6. They'd be in the play-in, and then the Warriors would be in the play-in as well. Ahead of them, you have the Mavericks, Suns, Clippers, Grizzlies, Jazz, Nuggets, and then the Trailblazers are sitting up top. It's an interesting 10 teams. I was expecting a little bit more from the Timberwolves, but maybe that was just me kind of hoping they would play well, considering they sold half their franchise for Rudy Gobert. I thought maybe Rudy Gobert might be an upgrade with two perimeter stars.
The Timberwolves are the Raiders of the NBA. It doesn't matter how many great players they acquire, you know. It for some reason the mix just never works. There's a stink. There's a stink about certain teams. It rubs off. You know what? Kevin Garnett was a great player, but one of the reasons why his merch never sold was that nobody wanted to be seen in Timberwolves gear. Nobody wanted to be seen wearing that team. He was a great player, and he propelled them to an era that they haven't been to since or before, even when they had Tom Gugliotta and some of those other teams that were fairly decent. But there's just something about a stink of on a team that just does can't rub away, no matter how much frankincense and myrrh you want to apply. You know what I mean, Joe?
It's sad, too, because I thought Anthony Edwards would really break out this year. And the fact that the first discussion about him this year was about fried chicken, I thought that was kind of a sad commentary, because these guys were supposed to be a top four team. And right now I'm getting a feeling that if this continues, I think Carl Anthony Towns is soon going to be going up to the management saying, guys, I feel like I need to change some scenery here. And they're going to need that guy to do that, to get back some of the assets they gave up for Rudy Gobert. Sad reality. I also think Carl Anthony Towns, he is a extremely talented person, but seems to be an empty statter at this point in his career. And I don't see it getting any better unless he's a second option with a really, 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 really bona fide star at the one. Carl Anthony Towns might be the problem too. I would say I'm not going to harp on him for getting mad at Anthony Edwards for telling him, hey, start eating better so you can be healthy. I thought that actually was the first time I've heard Carl Anthony Towns say something.
Hey, Joe, I just wanted to respond to what Paul had to say there. That was a pretty good comment. He said, Rudy Gobert's limitations killed the Wolves. Well, that was true with Utah. That's what happened in the playoffs. And that's kind of what we anticipated happening even at the, ebb end of what the Wolves were trying to be. Like, they're... say that their top end, you know, they win 55 games. They're, you know, they have home court advantage, but they flame out in the playoffs because you paid so much to acquire Rudy Gobert, but he's so limited offensively that we just know in the playoffs, you just get eaten alive out there. And teams will put you on an island and embarrass you over and over again. And that's what would have happened. And that's what probably will happen. And, you know, it's because Rudy Gobert has never developed an offensive game. Doesn't really have a jump hook. Doesn't really have any post moves. Has he taken more than 20 shots outside of 15 feet in a season? I'd be very surprised, very surprised. So, you know, he's limited. And like Joe said, there's something about Cat. Like, he's so talented offensively on a given night that you think, you know, he was carved from the basketball gods himself. But yet, there's just, I see the same thing in Carl Anthony Towns that I see in Anthony Davis. There's not a level up. I gotta level up now. There is just no other person on the planet right now who's as good as me. I don't think either one of those guys have, you know, assertiveness. they don't at times they're both very passive, and they at times they don't demand the ball. Now, if they were more consistent at that level, both of them would probably be considered top five players in the NBA. But I digress. With the Wolves, eventually it just comes down to what Joe said. It's time to pay the piper, and I think they're eventually going to suffer the consequences of making a move like that.
The NBA, and I think Rudy Gobert going to the Wolves should be the nail in the coffin at this point. Not that you really needed that, but it's kind of like that click in your head. You know what, guys? I think we need to really truly understand that the NBA at this point, just like in the NFL, a defensive-centric center without the offensive skill set of a shooter or someone who can guard away from the basket is as valuable as a running back in the NFL. It's a luxury. It's nice to have. It allows a little balance, sure. But the reality is you don't really have a lot of true ability in this day and age with that particular position. You just don't. And there's you know, people live in the, you know, I always use the term prisoners of the moment. You want to get real. A lot of talk of Shaquille O'Neal and how he would do in this era. You hear the easy answer, right? Oh, Shaq would average 50 points a game. Everybody says that about every great player from 20 years ago, right? There were two things that Shaq struggled with in an era that was centric. I was going to say centric. Pick and roll and guarding people away from the basket. Shaq would still be a pretty dominant guy, but he would struggle on defense. And that was why the Sacramento Kings always gave Shaq and the Kobe teams trouble, because they were able to do two things. Pick and roll you to death and draw that son of a gun out. And, you know, they almost got him one time. So this league is so athletic. It is so skilled. The only thing I just wish they had was a little bit more fundamentals. But you're not going to be able to play in the NBA if you don't have a shot, literally and figuratively. You're not going to help your team unless you can do what Tom's favorite player can do, which is Miles Turner. You got to be able to block shots and shoot threes. Can't do one of two. It's not going to work, or at least not going to work for a while or in a top five position on a team that's supposed to compete. So the NBA, and Gerald, you know, we knew that the Bucks and the Celtics, I thought the Celtics might struggle with all the drama, but they actually surprised me.
Yes.
That they're looking better actually than they did last year. So maybe I didn't give the new coach some benefit, the benefit of the doubt.
Tatum is one of those players that's averaging, there's like a record number of players currently averaging over 30 points a game. Brown is also close to it. They've been able to play just enough defense, not the level of suffocating defense that they played last season, but they played enough defense right now to get them at least where they need to go. Plus the fact, again, they're offensively, they're much more, much more capable of going ahead and scoring the basketball than they were last season.
Also, the Celtics are probably one big man away, a Miles Turner, from probably winning the title, handedly.
Well, if they get Time Lord back, they're going to be
tough. Sure. Go ahead, Sean.
If I'm not mistaken, and but I believe that Ricky Rubio is still out for the Cleveland Cavaliers. So when he comes back, they're going to be a very different ball club.
Well, I also know that they did a West Coast trip. I know that Paul in the chat room has been talking about Donovan Mitchell's lack of effort on defense.
Yeah,
that's something that's been consistent. But I also know that they were on a West Coast trip, and you see these East Coast teams, most of them. Not all, but you see them on when they go and take these West Coast trips, they have a tendency to fade as the end of the trip comes in, and that's how I think they've lost some four in a row. I think that's been part of the reason. But like Paul said, that Donovan Mitchell, consistent lack of consistency on defense, it could end up hurting the Cleveland Cavaliers, especially with, you know, Darius Garland, another small guard back there. So really, it doesn't move them to go ahead and just continue playing like that. That's why they need a defensive wing to help them out. Because, again, if you have a defensive wing and those two big guys backing mm-hmm. you up, then Donovan Mitchell doesn't have to worry as much on the defensive end.
No, not as much. And with the way the game is played today, he can be, you know, substituted in and out defensively. I mean, you know, again, I think that people not need to kind of pump the brakes on the Cavs, good or bad, indifferent, because they're going to be a completely different team when Ricky Rubio comes back. He creates an element of dynamism to their offense. He's not really a consistent three-point shooter, but Ricky's ability to be physical and to facilitate creates a very blending dynamic there, especially if he played opposite of a Spida or Darius Garland. Like you said, Gerald, Garland is a small guard, but if you paired him with a Rubio, I think you have a player there who is able to be competent on his own, is smart. Like Rubio is one of the most, I've seen him play four times live. He's one of the most intelligent basketball players I've ever seen. So to me, if you paired him with a Darius Garland, I think that would add a different element to that team. So that's why I say, like, really hold off on expectations on them right now.
Once again, it's the Lakers fast break. We're talking a Western Conference. It is the Magic Man, the Madman from Toronto, the guy getting out of Toronto traffic, Sean Grice, plus also as well, Joe Sorrell, a.k.a. Mr. Simblades, Simblades with a Y.com, and also LakersBall.com. I think when it comes to the Western Conference, obviously I don't want to slight any of the teams that are doing okay right now, like Memphis. Memphis just got Triple J back. Even though they did lose tonight, then they still look a lot better with Triple J. And then, of course, Desmond Bane, when he gets back in the lineup, because he's been playing outstanding. And Triple J is someone that Joe just says can shoot the three and block shots. Phoenix, they are starting to rack up some injuries. So will they be able to hold the 8-5? Because they got off to a great start. They've been struggling a little bit ever since. Dallas is going to be a little bit of an enigma, because even though they are beating up on the Clippers today, the thing is still that how much help can you give Luka, because Brunson is no longer a part of that team. So how much effectiveness will they have around Luka, and consistency will they have around Luka? That's going to be the thing going forward. The Clippers right now, they're just meandering through the season. I have a feeling, as Joe and I are surmising, as far as the talent that they have, they're just meandering through the season. They want to get through it healthy, just get them somewhere in the top five, maybe at best, and just get them in the playoffs. So things that we say about LeBron and AD, just get LeBron and AD in the playoffs. Just get LeBron and AD in the playoffs. Well, just get Paul and Kawhi in the playoffs. And the fact, again, they do have all those tradable contracts to trade for maybe someone a little bit better to go ahead and make a big three. That's something to keep an eye on as it gets closer to the end of the season. But something's going on in the Western Conference. But right now, I think it's just a meandering, a malaise. Sacramento is surprising right now at 500 in ninth place. Somebody that I said keep an eye on. I wasn't sure that they were going to be as far as in the playoff mix. But in the play-in mix, Joe, something that could surprise a lot of people out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's so the part where it's early, the fact that the Portland Trailblazers are, according to percentage wise, are sitting up top of the West. That's not going to last. The Kings going 6-6. You know, maybe they're listening to Mike Brown right now and playing as well as they are. But as soon as things kind of settle, you'll probably see that go down like it normally does. There's really only two teams that I see that are kind of complete in terms of roster. That's in the playoffs at the moment. the Nuggets and the Suns. I still believe that those two will end up at, up top at the end of the year. The Warriors could get out of their funk.
Those two,
I wouldn't be surprised if they did. But the way they're losing right now is, I don't know. Kind of curious to see if the health issue and the fact that Draymond Green has hit the proverbial old man wall in a really, really bad way. We saw it last year, and it's really hit hard now.
His numbers have been awful this season.
His numbers have been awful, but they've been awful for a while. And it's kind of, he's kind of starting to look like the basketball version of Cody Bellinger. At some point, you either got it or you don't, and you can't
maybe,
keep living.
Maybe have him stick to power walking.
Power walking, as long as it's Chris Paul doing it, I'll watch, because that's funny. And then, of course, the youngsters at Golden State, you know, youngsters sometimes play well when there's not a lot of pressure on them and not a lot of, you know, eyes. And if Kerr is putting more pressure on those guys to keep Clay, Steph, and Draymond fresh, I could see why they're not coming through. They might not have that kind of mindset to be like, you know what, guys, we need to be the next guys, which is always funny to me in basketball, because you just said it, how, well, we got to groom the next guy. You know, this isn't college football, guys. This isn't college. This isn't, you don't groom people in the NBA. Either you are great or you're not. And Clay and Steph and Draymond at one point were great to the point where they're going to go to the Hall of Fame. Can't expect the youngsters like Poole and Wiseman and these guys to all of a sudden go, guys, hey, let's go win it. And then it's going to be our time in a couple of years. That's not how it works, guys. Not in the NBA anyways. So I'm going to be monitoring the Warriors. I would not be surprised if they got out of the funk, but I'm also not going to be surprised if they have a down year. That's where I stand on that. I still say that Denver and Phoenix will be the teams to be reckoned with in the West. Dallas could be a threat, but they need to make a trade.
They need someone else to help out Luka. I mean,
they need someone,
okay, but he's defensively, he's an issue. Offensively,
yeah,
he's great. But
yeah,
not, they need someone else.
They need someone else, and it can't be some Porzingis type either. Someone who you don't know is going to be available every game. Or some other perimeter guy. They need someone down in the block. Again, Tom's favorite player type, like a Miles
Turner.
That's
a good point, Sean. Very good point on Cleveland. I don't know if you're seeing in the chat, Joe, but yeah, Sean just mentioned that the Cavs are a Lou Dort away from maybe ratcheting it up a notch. That may be the kind of thing that could offset what Paul was talking about in our chat room a little bit earlier about how Donovan Mitchell may lollygagging a little bit and on the defensive end, and he's, you know, not able to go ahead and be the kind of thing you need defensively. And Darius Garland as a smaller guard too, as well, not being able to be what you need defensively. Having a Lute Dort back there as your wingman, as far as number three, that could pick up any of the back.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess that's an easy observation, but they're not gonna. OKC's not gonna let him go.
First round pick.
I mean, at what point do you stop? This guy's 23 years old, and he's a up and coming star. Are you going to tell your fan base? Oh, by the way, we have this.
I know. But Joe, in the new NBA, you know, in the NBA now that like they got to pay Shea, and they're going to have to pay Chet Holmgren, and Josh Giddey's probably going to want a big contract too. So now
True.
We're talking about a fourth guy, right?
And true, but.
That fourth guy, for some reason, you know what the issue is? And you know what? I'm going to leave the floor to Joe after this because I think it'd be a good segue. It's that fourth guy in small markets that, for some reason, for whatever reason, in the cap era, that they don't keep, and they watch a potential flourishing dynasty wash away. Go ahead, Joe.
You segued this about as perfect as you could have done it, because we are about to embark on a very, what's the word I'm looking for? We're at the cusp of a lockout, a potential lockout that is going to change the NBA in ways we will have never seen.
Well, let's go on. That's the CBA. We'll go ahead and touch on the CBA.
Well, that's what I'm segueing to. So you're talking about OKC now having to trade the quintessential big man of this era that would be extremely valuable in building a team around Holmgren and Shea. And if they play bad enough and get the first pick, Wembanyama, maybe get the second pick, get Scoot. Now what are you going to do? What are you going to do then? And then on top of that, you're talking about if we end up doing a hard cap, it's going to turn into the NFL. You're going to see big names have to leave their teams. But this is basketball. This is the NBA. This is not the NFL. You can draft all-time players in the fourth, fifth, sixth, second, late first rounds. You can't do that in the NBA. So what are you going to tell? Now you're telling me that you want a league where the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Orlando Magic, you want those guys to be competitive. You want everybody to have a chance, right? Well, what if you're going to reward, and this has already sort of happened, you're not going to reward the GM who drafts the best players in two or three consecutive seasons by putting a hard cap in there, or in any way allowing them to be financially viable to compete. If you're not going to do that, then you got to get off this, we want everyone to win. We want everyone to have a chance. It's just not possible. You will make it worse. They traded James Harden. Granted, he bombed in the 2012 finals. I know that had a lot to do with it. But they didn't sign James Harden to a max deal, and it cost them a potential dynasty. Because I am pretty positive they would have probably won at least one or two titles, for sure one, between 2013 and 2016. I'm sure of it. Imagine James Harden on the 2016 team that went up 3-1 against the Golden State Warriors. That series would have been, they would have won. You know, it just and that was because of money, right? Now you're going to make it even harder for these teams to do this. Therefore, now how does this all play out? I don't know. I'd have to see it, but I have a feeling I know what it would be.
Once again, it is the Lakers Fast Break. Right here for us, it is the Magic Man, Bryce, and of course, Joe Sorrow. Thank you so much for watching and listening, everyone. We truly appreciate it. Western Conference still right now. And that's a good thing for the Lakers, because if you got teams that are struggling and that the Lakers are only 2.5 games out, even at 3-10, they have a chance if they get healthy and get right and maybe make some additions, which Laker Tom is still somewhere in Northern California praying for this very moment. I rest assured that he's still thinking about it all the time, guaranteeing that it's going to happen any day now. We'll see, but the Lakers still do have a chance to get in some sort of play-in. I know that's kind of a long shot right now, 3-10, so I want to be somewhat realistic on that. I don't want to go ahead and get anybody's hopes up too high. But it is still a possibility. Again, if the Lakers go on a little bit of run, 3 out of 4, maybe 5 out of 8, 6 out of 10, they can go on that type of run. You never know. They can get back square into things and maybe get back into it as far as before the end of the year, get back into it maybe as far as the 9-10 seed. Because, again, when the 9th seed is 6-6 right now with Sacramento Kings, they're not too far behind. So it's something that we can all still hopefully see a pathway to a competitive team for the Los Angeles Lakers. But the Western Conference, that's the one good thing right now, with no standout teams right there at the top of the mix, and everybody expecting the Utah Jazz to maybe fall back to the pack a little bit, although they are playing extremely well. I want to give them a lot of credit. They are still playing with a lot of fervor and zest, so I do want to give Paul's team a lot of credit for that they've gone ahead and be, you know, they were able to create a lot, you know, give a chance to a lot of new players to come together very quickly and be able to play very well together very quickly now that they're getting, for many of them, a great opportunity. So we'll see if that can continue for Utah. Also as well, Portland. Portland has been playing above everybody's expectations. We'll see how far Damian Lillard can carry this team as well. So will they stay at the top of the Western Conference? We're not sure. But even if that's the case, the Denver Nuggets seem to be someone that a team, or teams, I should say, that looks to be very competitive in the West. But look out for Phoenix. Look out for the Clippers and the Mavericks and obviously the Warriors. All these teams right now that are like 500 or a little bit above Memphis, they're just, I guess, right now working out, ironing out the kinks, and maybe hopefully they will go ahead and get things straight out. But that could be a good opportunity for the Lakers to get back in to the Western Conference mix. But again, I don't want to get everybody's hopes up too high. Put it realistically out there. If they can get healthy starting this Friday night, they can maybe just rack up a couple wins here and there. I know Joe's smiling and laughing already. Maybe that'll, you know, allow the Lakers.
I just read a rumor.
No, what are the odds of a Lakers rumor?
No, it's not a Lakers rumor, but it's somewhat related. The Clippers have discussed the possibility of trading for Miles Turner, per Bleacher Report by Eric Pincus. So, some of the guys from Lakers ball, I think one of the guys wrote, "F off, sweaty Stevie."
Well, the thing is, though, okay, yeah, he does provide a better mix as far as today's offenses are concerned, but Ivica Zubats is having the best year of his career. He's averaging a double-double, Joe. To take that away, that's, you're giving Indiana something as far as whatever it is you're giving, and I'm assuming Zubats would go in that trade, and what you're taking away is, yes, you're getting block shots and three-pointers, but you're also giving up a tremendous offensive rebounder right now.
I still would make that trade. I think Miles Turner would fit that team a little bit better. The only issue is, if you think Kawhi Leonard's going to last a year, then do the trade. If you don't, which I know he doesn't look like he will, I don't know what the point of it would be.
Well, maybe that's why they're not too concerned about where they fall in the Western Conference, is that they're nursing Kawhi Leonard at this point in time until he's going to be able to make a run in the playoffs. Sean?
Nursing? Okay, so... Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Steve.
No, thanks, Joe. Yeah, I just wanted to say this. Gerald, it's true. Lightning does strike in the same place twice and thousands of times. But in sports, almost rarely happens. It's very rare you hit the same notes at the same time, in the same sequence, 2-3 years in a row. It's harder the first time. And the Raptors played every note correctly when they traded for him. They sat back and they waited. They waited because they knew that the only other team in on Kawhi were the Lakers. And I'm sure Masai was sitting there in the big chair and he realized that there was no way that Greg Popovich would allow Kawhi Leonard to be traded to the Lakers. So he just sat back and he waited in the weeds.
Well, let me ask you this. If you know, Paul's just mentioned that Lakers Tom's head would just explode upon hearing that. So what if the Clippers... Evan, you know, ended up doing the healed Turner trade.
Johnny on the spot. What can you say? Like that? That's what that is.
It's an end to the fact. It's the end of the perfect center next to AD. That's all it does. It will not get the Clippers a championship because Kawhi Leonard will not be healthy enough towards the end of the year.
And that ends.
That pretty much ends the Laker trade for Miles Turner, and he is the quintessential center to play next to AD, and he would enhance the team from that aspect. But that's it. That's all it would do.
All right, but I agree with Paul. Laker Tom's head would explode. So, John, yes. You wanted to finish up on some statements, and then we'll go ahead and hit Joe's thoughts on the CBA.
Yes. You know, sometimes, you know, Gerald, Joe often talks about how, you know, the bubble championship feels like it was like 5 years ago. Well, the Raptors feel like that as well, their fan base. That happened like 5-6 years ago because everybody just basically moved on, right? It was, yeah, good for them. Now it's time to bigger and better business, and they were kind of left there. But they played all the notes correctly with Kawhi. They conciliated to every request that he asked for. They made his family 100% comfortable. They MLSE spared no expense, making sure Kawhi and those around him were happy. And it ended up winning a championship. Now he left. And now he went to a new situation, but it's different. It does feel like it's been 5 years, but he has two degenerative knees, not just one, both. Both are degenerative. And when you have a degenerative condition, whatever it is, that means it will not get better. It will only get worse. So Joe's thinking what we're all thinking about Kawhi. He's maybe got another run in him. And then that's going to be that. Because I don't think his knees can take the bump and the grind of 82 games anymore. He'll never play 82 games in an NBA season ever again. No, that will not happen. That will not happen. And now the Clippers have had to acquire numerous talent in order to ensure that even if he does have one last run in him, it's worth it. Like Gerald was saying, like he didn't want to pick the Clippers to make a finals run, but he looked at their roster and saw the immense talent on it, and he can't ignore it.
Well, I will say that it's going to be something we're going to look at, continue to look at here at the Lakers Fan Break. Although the sweet irony would not be so sweet for us here at the Lakers Fast Break if Miles Turner and also Buddy Hield would be traded to the Clippers. That would not go down well with us. Though I would love to have Laker Tom on the air as that happens. So just
it wouldn't be Buddy Hield. I don't think that's part of the package.
Okay. Well, they've got a lot of assets to do the trade.
What do you mean, okay? I just told you.
I said, okay, if that's what you say. But I still, you don't know what they're thinking. So they have a lot of contracts. They don't have the two number one, very attractive number one picks.
Don't ever okay me again when I talk.
Okay. So I will say, once again, it's the Lakers Fast Break. But before we head on out, Petty, my cat, hello. Thank you so much. Richard, thank you so much for joining us.
What's up?
Paul, appreciate having you here. Everybody, Blue, always, of course, great to have you here. Thank you so much for watching and listening. I want to go ahead and we'll catch up on the YouTube comments also this evening as well. If you've commented on one of our shows recently, we'll go ahead and catch up on that if you've not been able to attend live. So we truly appreciate it. But we truly cannot thank you enough for watching and listening on this NBA Observation Show. And speaking of NBA observations, it is not beyond our observation that the collective bargaining agreement going to be up for renegotiation here in the next few months as far as the meetings begin, I believe, in December between the players' union and the governors of the NBA. And I know Joe asked me today, he wanted to go ahead and share some thoughts on an upcoming collective bargaining agreement because you heard him. He is convinced, or leaning, I should say, towards a strike that's upcoming, even though there's a fat TV deal that could be on the way for the league. Possibility of more streaming outlets buying into the NBA. The possibility of getting some cold hard cash with some expansion teams before the end of this decade. All those are real possibilities. Would the league and its players want to spoil that opportunity with a strike? That's on Joe's mind as far as the CBA is concerned. So Joe and Sean, feel free to interject it when you want. But talk to us about a collective bargaining agreement and why it's so important.
It's going to be important to the fans in terms of how the teams are going to budget They're stars. I was explaining a few minutes ago about how I believe the Oklahoma City Thunder, because they couldn't afford to give three max contracts, probably lost out on a potential dynasty. And it reminded me of how the NFL runs a business, which is they can't pay everybody. They have to let people go, which creates parity. I don't know. I've never liked parity. I've liked greatness. Even if it wasn't my team, I prefer to watch the highest quality team win. Highest quality team usually means someone who is good at acquisitions, good at scouting, good at drafting, and then obviously paying those players. And mediocrity or parity is something I just don't like to see. And I believe that if the CBA hits with a hard cap, we will see even more mediocrity in the NBA in terms of great teams. You're going to get more of a baseball type result. You don't know, you'll go into a playoffs. And I know a lot of people like that. I'm probably in the minority here, but I don't. I actually like seeing great teams play and do great things. So for me, I'm still going to watch. And of course, it's likely going to bring the more general audience to it, because if they feel like, oh, well, look, the Orlando Magic are competitive and you have a bunch of bandwagon types who they're at the supermarket and they're seeing more Orlando Magic gear and they're seeing the excitement in town. Now they're like, ooh, I want to go watch because they're winning and yay. And I guess that works for them. Not for me. I regret not cheering for the Patriots in 2007. I would have preferred to have them won the Super Bowl and gone undefeated, because we don't see that in our lifetime. I would have liked to have seen the Warriors three-peat in 2019. I wanted Toronto to win because I wanted Kawhi Leonard, and I thought if Kawhi delivered a championship to Toronto, it was all but done that he would leave. It looks like he would have left anyways, but that's where my mind was at the time. I want to see greatness. I want to see great teams, but I think this CBA situation is going to further dilute, especially if you expand the NBA, further dilute and spread the talent all over, which means we're going to see a lot more average teams playing on a nightly basis. I got something else I want to say on this. Sean, I know you wanted to say something. When you're done, I'll continue on the next thing that I really want to talk about with the CBA. Go ahead.
Just to expound on what Joe was saying, that he kind of hit the nail on the head. That's pretty much what I see too as well. See, social media is a buzz because they think that just because the past has shown that the players haven't really budged and have gotten their fair share of the pie over the years, that the reverse isn't going to happen now, that it's going to boomerang on them. And I just want people to understand that the past isn't a pathway to the future. The past is the past, and it stays there when it comes to money, because when it comes to money, it's the here and the now. And with the TV contract money rolling in, these teams really, like Joe said, really don't need you to come to the gate. If you come to the gate and you bring your family, that's great, wonderful. But just remember, when you buy the ticket, on the back of the ticket, it says for entertainment. That's what it says, for entertainment. And that will not change. That will not change with this new CBA. It will still say for entertainment. And no matter how much people want to whine and complain that, oh, these billionaires, they control everything, and, you know, they shouldn't have a monopoly on everything. Well, you know something? It's their own little club. And there are only 30 people in that club. And like Joe said, we're headed towards a lockout. And that little club is not going to be stopped at this point. It's not going to budge either. So what's going to happen is there's going to be concessions made, and the concessions are going to be made by the PA, not by the owners. Not this time. This time it's different. And people need to wrap their brains around that concept right now. We're in a different reality than we were. You know, Gerald, I remember the NBA in a time when they did have somewhat of a hard cap. In the mid-90s, the NBA salary cap allowed one team to basically give a large percentage of their cap to their franchise player. So there were certain players who took that provision. Bryant Reeves, Bryant Big Country Reeves, took that provision from the Vancouver Grizzlies. He's a past example, but basically different position, but you could basically exchange him and James Harden for their, let's just, shall we say, weight problem. You have Antoine Jameson, who took that provision with the Golden State Warriors. Vince Carter took it with the Raptors. So that was a different time. They took a large percentage of the cap, but basically what Joe said back then, you basically had to divert funds to position by position. I'll never forget when the Lakers picked up Rick Fox for $1 million. They picked up Rick Fox for $1 million because Rick Pitino lied to him and said he could afford him and Travis Knight. And when Rick Fox found out that the Celtics were reneging on the deal, he was halfway to the arena to sign the contract. So, you know, this is a different era. And now what happened then, I see happening now. And there is no stopping this lockout. It's happening 100%.
We'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. Well, once again, it's the Lakers Fast Break. I'm not so sure. I'm keeping out.
Pop Culture Cosmos. You just read that right now.
I haven't changed it back. But I will say, though, well, go check out Pop Culture Cosmos. We cover the latest news and trends.
Okay.
Yes. But anyways, I want to go ahead and say that I think that there may be a lockout. Those guys, as far as both on the governors and also on the player side, I don't know. That's a lot of money to give up. I think cooler heads will prevail. I think money, in this case, will prevail, that they will come to an agreement on certain issues, whatever they need to, and they'll go ahead and make that work. But I'm not 100% convinced on that. I think, like you said, Joe, egos may come into play. You know, as far as the type of money that could be thrown out there, the money that could be lost if they do go on strike, that to me is more important.
Well, the NBA players have shown more backbone than the weasels in the NFL, I'll tell you that. Major League Baseball players have shown the most will, if you will, in terms of making sure that there's a fairness in the collective bargaining agreement. The NBA, typically I was on the player's side through most of the lockout, strikes, whatever you want to call them, situations. Just because David Stern was in charge and he's a bum. And I just never would ever side with someone like that. However, the current NBA, we've had, I believe, too many stars who have thought and felt that they should get paid to not participate, whether it's rightfully so, whether it's for something outside basketball, whether it's emotional, whether it's philosophical. I don't care what it is. If I'm Adam Silver and the 30 owners, and I'm sitting back going, we have a superstar availability problem because the wind went a certain way and they don't want to play. Well, guys, here's what I have on the table. We are going, and here's where this plays, you know, Gerald's favorite thing, money. If you have a hard cap, it's going to be difficult to win with a hard cap, meaning you're going to have to Tom Brady it if you want to win a lot. Now, yep. Some don't care about winning. And as the culture of the NBA continues to erode as it has, maybe they don't care. Maybe they'll win one championship and be satisfied. But you are going to have to make a decision if you're Dame Lillard, Bradley Beal, any top-notch number one player, Anthony Davis. If you're at that moment where you can sign a max contract, understand that if you take the max contract in a hard cap league, you are now really hindering any chance at winning basketball. There's a big chance of that. So here's what I do if I'm the owner and Adam Silver. You guys want me to not implement a hard cap and possibly force you to take less to be competitive. It will happen, folks. You're going to have to make that decision if you're a star. Then we need to talk about guaranteed contracts. We need to put some stipulations in that. You're not going to want to show up. Guess what?
Bye-bye.
Either you don't get paid. I don't mind a guaranteed contract with a provision that says, well, if you feel like you don't want to play one day or one week and it has nothing to do with an injury, and that the teams have to monitor. The teams are going to know, right? The NBA can't be at every team and go, hey, did this guy really have a sprained ankle? I'm sorry, but the teams are going to have to monitor this and be honest about it.
And I couldn't say this at the time, but I'd like to get this on the record right now. I think it's ridiculous that some people are trying to make a juxtaposition between what the Worm did in Chicago and telling Phil he needed a break and to go to Vegas and to camp for a few days versus Kyrie just deciding he was not going to show up for work and go on a sabbatical. The difference was Dennis Rodman went to his employer and asked, I need some time off. I'm stressed out. I need some time off. Kyrie just decided he's going to take his time off, and his obligations to his employer were secondary. And that's pure bullshit. When you sign a contract, I'm sorry, Gerald, but I just had to say that. When you sign a contract with somebody and give your word that you're going to perform your job on time, actively and thoroughly, and you're not going to BS them. And he decided he was above that, and that's crap.
You know, someone will argue, you know what, now you're rationalizing it, Sean. Why are you being unfair? Okay, you got a guy that played like a madman for 48 minutes, if you'd let him. Probably played 42 minutes, right? There are exceptions in life, folks. I get it. There are exceptions, you know that, but then there are rules. However, you let the team decide that. Now, if I'm an owner, and I guess when I have millions and millions of dollars in TV contracts, maybe I don't give a crap about the ticket as much, right? And that plays a big part here, guys. I think that's why. But if you care about your game, you want the stars to play. And if they don't want to play, then you take their money. They'll quickly get very healthy and very mentally focused on it. They won't be playing Call of Duty if they know that their $20 million isn't going to be in their bank account. These are the things that I hope Adam Silver and the owners do. And you had mentioned about Ben Simmons, James Harden, and who was the third guy? Was it Kevin Durant? Those were little things that have happened in the last year that should catapult this philosophy that needs to be implemented, because we are tired of listening to this. Whatever the reason is, it's not about the reason. It's about the fact that I want to watch Kevin Durant play. I want to watch Kyrie Irving play. These are special, special basketball players. I want to watch Ben Simmons play and play all defense and distribute the ball. And these are, this is what they do. And when these guys are not available to play, then why am I going to tune in? I'm sorry. I'm not here to watch Robin Lopez. I mean,
there's a wrestler. His game. There's a wrestler. That guy has a career in wrestling, not Dwight.
I respect his game. I respect a lot of these guys' game. Anybody in the NBA is a very talented player. But you watch Kyrie, you watch Ben Simmons when they're on. This is the kind of stuff I want to watch. I want to watch special players do special things. I don't want to hear about how they're not playing for an entire year because they're scared of making layups. If that's the case, then how about you figure out how to get them in there? You know, your job as an owner or governor, whatever they call them, is to put the best team on the court. Stop being a, you know what? Do something. Owners, do something. You got Joe Tsai, who came out of the gate during the summer saying, I'm not trading you, and then turned into a pumpkin the last 2 weeks. You know, he turned into Genie Buss. So we need these leaders of these teams. These are owners. These guys are powers of industry who run a business like half the people that went out of business the last year. The only reason why they're not running out of business is because the professional leagues of the NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball are fixed. These TV contracts have fixed the game. They have no incentive to try and make sure that the team is playing because they're worried about, we don't have enough concession money, we don't have enough ticket sales. That went out the door because of these TV contracts. That needs to stop. That needs to be changed a little bit. I mean, come on, guys. You care about the quality? Does it matter? I know that Gerald had mentioned that the NBA's ratings are great. So at this point, maybe it doesn't matter. I like quality, guys. I like quality. And it can't be at the expense of money, guys. It can't be. You know, when you talk about my business and why it does so well, okay, just because money's involved doesn't mean that I'm going to go do a project and find out that there's an issue with it and then not do something about it that's going to have to come out of my pocket. And guess what? My quality matters. I'm going to front that money knowing that that project is going to look the way I want it to look, even if it's not my fault. Because you know why? Thinking ahead. You know what? This client is going to go, wow, I screwed this up and he still fixed it. Man, I'm going to tell my cousins, my aunts, my dead grandfather that's in the, they're going to tell everybody about you. And guess what? That money that you spent fixing that wasn't your fault, will come back tenfold. You just got a lesson, guys, in business. Somebody sell me an NBA team, please. I'll show you how to do it. Sean will be my GM. And Jared will be the guy collecting the money at the box office, because I know he likes money. I've been hard on Gerald tonight, huh? I'm sorry, Gerald. I'm picking on you. Okay, there's no John for me to pick on. I'm picking on you.
I'll cry on my Kleenex here right there. Okay.
There you go. That's a great answer.
Once again, it's the Lakers Fast Break. It is Joe Soro. It is Sean Grice and me, Gerald Glassford. We want to thank you so much for watching and listening. you have any questions or thoughts, you guys have been great in the chat room. The best Lakers chat room that's out there is right here at the Lakers Fast Break. Don't forget, Friday night, we'll be going ahead and be a part of our live watch parties. If you want to be a part of our live watch parties, just go ahead to playback.tv, sign up for a free account, and just join us, playback.tv/Lakers Fast Break. But tomorrow, it's going to be
time. I for love school. You tomorrow.
There'll always be an. I don't know how it ends. Anyways, there will be class in session tomorrow because we're doing a special class. Lakers History 101 is back for tomorrow. Tomorrow's class will be in session as the dean of Lakers Fast Break University. To go ahead and mention that Professor Joe Soro will be conducting a lecture on one of his favorite topics, and that is the Chris Paul trade. That's right.
You said that's my favorite topic. It's not.
Well, it seems like it because you always go
that
to
derailed it. That derailed. No comment. Never mind.
Okay.
By the way, Kleenex, we call tissue Kleenex. That's a brand. It's not Kleenex. Like Xerox. You know, they say, hey, can you Xerox this?
Yeah, Kleenex is a brand.
Company name. That's not, you don't Xerox things.
You have to say facial tissue. How about that?
That's how you do business, baby.
Will Professor Sean Grice also be attending to share his thoughts on the lecture and the symposium held by Professor Joe Soro tomorrow?
Yes. Yes, he will be.
Okay, absolutely.
There'll be more vitriol tomorrow.
Yes, plenty more.
Because I've never talked in detail of this. I won't. Not a lot of people. Some people have heard that I was on the radio when that whole deal happened. And as I got to see if I can find it. I think I might have recorded that show. That would be. I had to keep myself professional at that time, but I was irate, and I thought it was a joke until probably 2-3 days later. Before I realized this was actually going to happen. Not only that, but what really set it that really set it bad was the fact that he let him go to the Clippers and have him play for that Donald piece of garbage. That was like a guillotine to everything. Okay. Not only did you screw up your flagship franchise, you gave it to the biggest piece of crap in your league that you should have had out of there 20 years earlier.
Well, I will say again that it is most going to be, you know, it's going to be a great session. It's going to be a great class tomorrow. That's going to start around 6 p.m. Pacific.
You're going to be pumped and ready.
He's got Professor Joe Soro is going to be pumped and ready. I do want to mention, though, that Blue Magic was asking a question to you, Professor. Is there any required homework or reading in advance of this? That's a good question. So, Professor Sean, Professor Joe, is there any required reading?
Yes, for context purposes, I want everybody to read up on the failed Charles Barkley to the Lakers trade.
What does that have to do with the Chris Paul trade?
I felt that the failed Barkley trade derailed Magic's finals trajectory, and I also think that what Joe said, the context applies to taking Chris Paul away from Kobe Bryant. I think that was also in the makings of being a team that had finals trajectory written all over it.
Well, I'll tell you what, everyone. I'm going to go ahead and post a link. It's to an article that I found. They look back at the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers 10 years later. That should be the required reading for everyone out there. I just put it into the mix. I'm going to go ahead and make a tiny URL of it because it looks like it's giving me extensions forever on it. So I'm going to go ahead and make a tiny URL of it real quick while we're on the air. But Joe, is there anything you want them to go ahead and focus in on possibly reading-wise before class tomorrow?
I want you guys to focus on the aftermath. I will explain the duration of what happened, but I want you to focus on the aftermath and how the Lakers were bumbling and stumbling after that. Why? Why were they bumbling and stumbling? Well, let me ask you this. For those of you who have been in a relationship, imagine You leave someone whom you've been with for someone else, okay? And then the person you left for the other person says, "Oh, I'm not coming. Now we're done." What would happen? Now you got to go back and you're that guy that left the other person, went to someone else, but that is someone else is no longer there. I could have gone into more detail on that example, but I think you guys get where I'm going with it. Because again, I don't want to offend people. You know, people get all, you know, start assuming things. Imagine you jilt the person you've been with, who you've had successes with, for someone else, and then that someone else gets taken away. Now you got to go back. How would you think that happened? How did you think Paul Gasol felt? How do you think Lamar Odom felt? Lamar Odom almost died because of it. I mean, this thing set so many things bad after the aftermath of it all. We had to go and get Steve Nash. We had to go get Dwight. I mean, we were going to get Dwight Howard anyways. But we were scrambling after that, and we never recovered, and Kobe Bryant never had a chance to sit at the table with Michael Jordan. And that pisses me off.
That's just a taste of what you'll get tomorrow when you come to class right here at Lakers Fast Break University. Lakers History 101, that'll be tomorrow, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, so I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully you'll be there as well. Thanks so much again to our awesome chat room, the best Lakers chat room that's out there right here at the Lakers Fast Break. I will be answering, again, comments and questions that have been laid out to us over the past few days on YouTube, so look out for that in the next 24 hours. Of course, you can always get a hold of me at Lakers Fast Break on Twitter, LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com. And of course, when you subscribe, too, hopefully you'll do that, Lakers Fast Break on YouTube. Joe Soro is at JoeSoro5 on Twitter, plus also get a hold of him. I can forward over the message at LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com and LakersFastBreak on YouTube. And Sean answers all the comments as well. So be a part of the experience today, Lakers Fast Break on YouTube. Guys, it's been a great episode. NBA Observations is done for this week. Any last thoughts, Sean or Joe, on the way out?
Just hoping for some good basketball. I mean, I turn on a game here and there, and you know, I haven't really seen a consistent night yet where it's been really good games. So I'm just waiting for that. It just seems that we're in an era where, you know, if you give effort for 25 minutes and you still lose by 20, it wasn't all bad, and because you still got paid. It feels hollow right now, Gerald. Got to be honest.
Joe, any last thoughts before we head on out, my friend?
Well, as far as the NBA is concerned, I think everyone's kind of in the same boat in that it's too early, which it's the mindset of, to me, an average thinker. This is where you set the standard. And Utah seems to be that team that, yeah, they have maybe a little bit of a chip, right? That's what the famous line is all the time. They have a chip. They were expected to tank. But when you watch them play basketball, they play basketball like a full functioning machine. That doesn't just get turned off. And you have young players. If you're not going to play defense, which most of the NBA doesn't really, the Utah Jazz are going to be a problem. They might not win it all, but they're going to be a problem night in and night out. I'd say that's the best part of the season so far from what I've seen, is the Utah Jazz actually playing phenomenal team basketball and players that have enhanced their games in this offense. And I'm gonna say right now, I mean, you're talking about the next upcoming, you know, when you look at what, you know, I mean, I know Danny Ainge gets all the credit, but you know, Will Hardy, why didn't we get him? What, wasn't a big enough name? Or would LeBron have listened to him? Would Anthony Davis have listened to him? I know Russell Westbrook probably wouldn't have listened to him, but see, that's the problem, guys. See what happens when you don't listen to good coaching? You don't play like the Utah Jazz with what's supposedly not enough talent. I'm just reporting what's going on. I'll tell you my opinion, right? There's a bunch of people out there that do podcasts and TV series. I was scrolling through the ESPN page today, and every single window is that Stephen A. or whatever lousy people they have on that channel now is they're blasting Dak Prescott. They're blasting this guy, and they're blasting that guy. It's always someone blasting somebody. How about somebody maybe, you know, the other team plays too, right? You know, the other team plays and they're trying to win.
It's either blast or pout.
At what point are you going to just let the other team plays too? The other team plays well too. They're trying to win.
That's hilarious to me, Joe. When a fan base says, oh, well, you know, we lost 27-3, but, you know, we were playing in the mud and the weather was bad. The other team was playing in the mud.
Oh, too. They were hovering over the mud, right? Well, again, it's this shock jock Howard Stern trash. That's what this is. We have accepted basura. If you guys speak Spanish out there, right? I've been season up my Spanish the last 6 months. You are watching trash from trash. And I'm hoping that as we develop with this show, and it's a subjective thing. I'm sure there are people out there that think we suck. I suck. We're trash. But the reality is we're trying to back up what we're saying every show. This isn't just me spouting off, oh, I hate this. No, if I don't like something, I'm going to tell you why. And if Gerald calls me after the show and says, Joe, did you know this? Did you know why? And I go, oh, I didn't know that. Oh, well, I got to go back on the next show and say, you know what, guys? I was wrong. I was wrong. Brock Lesnar is a great man. He donates to the nuns of Wisconsin.
He has said some controversial things.
Of course he has. And that's why I use Brock Lesnar, because I actually didn't like Brock Lesnar because I thought he was somewhat of a fake tough guy. But there's been some things that he said that I was like, you know what?
If you've seen the kind of game he's hunt, he's no phony tough guy.
No. And some of the things he said, I was like, well, guys, you told you the truth. So you either take it or leave it. Point is, we're here to analyze the situation and back it up with facts. I know that's a hard word for some of you out there, not our everyday listeners, because that's why they're here. They enjoy the facts. You know what facts are? Facts, things that can't be changed for stuff. You know, like Ben Simmons plays Call of Duty more than he plays NBA minutes. That's fact. It's documented. So facts matter in life. If you need proof, ooh, that's another one. Proof. I always tell people, come shadow me during a week, work week.
Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts.
Facts.
I think I could picture Joe in Dragnet. I really could.
Well, I absolutely adore that movie with Dan Aykroyd and Tom Hanks. It is one of the greatest comedies ever made. I actually quoted it yesterday. I don't know if you guys remember the scene when they knock on the door of the landlady. Yeah. That is one of the all-time favorite. Whatever, when everyone was going crazy about cops and, you know, mistreating, you know, all the people went all, we're blue, we support cops. I'm sorry, guys, but this is my favorite scene ever. Gerald, you know what I'm talking about?
I do. In fact,
yeah.
I remember who did the soundtrack, Art of Noise.
It is one of the absolute classic films. Miss that genre so much. We'll never get it back, but thank God for DVD, Blu-rays, and digital copies.
But once again, it's the Lakers Fast Break. We want to thank you for being part of our NBA observations. And if you have any thoughts, please go ahead and share it down below if you're watching this after the fact. Also, as well, you can send a message to @JoeSo05 on Twitter, @LakersFastBreak on Twitter, and, of course, LakersFastBreak at Yahoo. Once again, appreciate it. Have a great evening, everyone. Class, so we'll be in session. I sent out the homework for you to go ahead and study up on. The link is right there for you in the chat room. I'll actually post it in the description for homework tomorrow, and I'll also put it in the comments as well. So for Joe Sorrell, Don Grice, Cheryl Glassford, thank you so much for watching and listening. Really appreciate it. Remember also as well, our live game coverage on playback.tv on Friday. Always good fun here throughout the week, right here at the Lakers Podcast.